Okay, I will speak today about turbulent mixing of passive tracers on small scales in channel flow. On small scales, it means below dissipation scale in case of inertial turbulence, but the experimental system will be not about inertial turbulence, but about elastic turbulence. The collaborator on this research, where it should be started from here, it's Alex Groisman, and then Bourguillet, Theo, and Enrico Segre, William Wung, June. Okay, I will start from theory. It's a long story, started from bachelor, and this transport of passive scalar was described by this equation. It was already, I know that there were several talks, theoretical talks and numerical about the transport of passive scalar, therefore I will pass rather quickly. Therefore, here it's definitions and definition of Kolmogorov scale and Batchelor dissipation scale. Therefore, the regime that I will speak about will be between Kolmogorov scale and Batchelor scale. And control parameters in this scale case will be Schmidt number, which is ratio of viscosity to diffusion, and Peclet number, which is ratio to transport due to velocity and to diffusion transport. Both of these parameters are very large in problems that I will discuss in experimental problem. And that's a very important part in this issue. Therefore, the first result that has been discussed and theoretically was result about power spectra for passive scalar. And here I present both the velocity power spectra and the power spectra for passive scalar. And the regimes that I will discuss will be below this, or above this K, Kolmogorov, and up to this scale, Batchelor scale. And in this regime, the prediction that made first by Batchelor for long correlated in time noise or velocity field, it's called viscous convective regime, and prediction was that it should decay as k minus 1. Then it was in 68 when Greifmann got the same result for data correlated velocity field, and later on it was obtained by groups that I will mention in 95 at Cherkov, Falkovich, Kolokolov, and Lebedev for arbitrary correlated in time velocity field. Therefore, Batchelor regime of mixing characterized first of all by velocity field is statistically homogeneous, isotropic and stationary, and random in time and spatially smooth velocity field. That was important part which I will discuss later on. And it means that energy spectrum should decay steeper than k minus 3. In case of inertial turbulence below dissipation scale, the energy spectrum decay exponentially. It means that only one characteristic distance, so characteristic space scale, is Kolmogorov scale. In case of energy spectrum which decay faster than k minus 3, it will be several spatial scales that will participate in spectrum. Now, the Batchelor regime of mixing at Schmidt number larger than 1, how this mixing occurs? Mixing occurs due to stretching and folding of blob which include the passive scalar, and this stretching and folding occurs to the scale which is characterized by diffusion scale. Therefore, that's actually on this scale the gradient will be of passive scalar will be smeared by diffusion, and that's defines the mixing time. Therefore, from this and this equation, we can find that mixing time in case of Batchelor regime for unbounded system will be defined by Lyapunov exponent or approximately shear rate or inverse characteristic time, hydrodynamic characteristic time, multiply on logarithm of Peclet number. Therefore, it's very weakly depend on Peclet number. And that's prediction that actually was not tested till recently. And that's important part. Mixing lengths will also depend logarithmically on Peclet number. And that's for unbounded system. Now, here I will list the theoretical prediction on turbulent mixing and the Batchelor decay regime. Before I told about stationary regime, therefore we continuously add, there are two regimes that can be performed experimentally. One, we add continuously the passive scalar into the flow, and flow mix this passive scalar. Another, it's decay regime when you add on the input of the channel, you add some dye, and then you look downstream what happens with this dye. And that's decay regime. And in case of decay regime and unbounded system, the prediction I made besides the spectra, we made in this several papers. And I can summarize this prediction the following. The PDF of passive scalar concentration is qubit exponential tails, which the range of the exponential tails increase with Peclet number. The larger Peclet number, the larger the range. Moments of PDFs of decay, of these PDFs, or decay exponentially along the channel. And exponents of the moments decay saturate at I approximately larger than 6. Therefore, it means that PDF are not self-similar and intermittent.
Isn't the result of measurement?
No, that's theoretical prediction on turbulent mixing. That's what I told. That's what written, theoretical prediction on turbulent mixing. I list here, summarize all predictions that have been made theoretically. PDFs of scalar concentration increments, on the other hand, at different scales, at the same band or same coordinate along the channel, have exponential tails and are self-similar. And structure function of passive scalar concentration increments have logarithmic dependence on increment delta r.
I'm asking because this I depends on the model of the velocity at which the saturation occurs.
On?
The I at which the saturation occurs,
yes,
depends on the velocity field.
Yes, but I took this from the Pendek-related velocity field.
Okay.
And that's, yeah. Okay, but then later on, another theory appears in 2003 by Chertkov and Lebedev. They consider the turbulent mixing and Batchelor decay regime, but with a system with boundaries, no slip boundaries. And turns out that it's radically change the theoretical prediction, and particularly on mixing lengths or time of mixing. And that's what I would like now to discuss. Actually, this was third paper, and then another paper which I discussed separately, because here quantitative prediction about mixing lengths, and that's exactly the main topic that I will discuss experimentally. And another papers, it's numerical simulations about the situation of Batchelor decay regime with no slip boundaries. Therefore, what happens if bounds were included in the problem? Then, since velocity field going to zero at the boundaries, no slip boundaries, the flow along the boundaries, perpendicular to the boundaries, will decay differently. This transfer velocity will decay quadratically, and velocity along longitudinal velocity will decay linearly with the distance from the wall. And it means that since VR, which actually fluctuation of VR, which are responsible for mixing across the channel, will be rather low, and near the boundary the passive color will be concentrated, and from time to time will be induced into the bulk. It means that the efficiency of mixing will be reduced significantly. And that's actually what is reflected in this L mix. And mixing lengths will have much stronger independence on Peckley number. Instead of logarithmic, it will be 1/4. And it means that larger the Peckley number, the larger the mixing lengths, and less the mixing is less efficient. That's actually the main prediction about the system. There are another predictions, and these another predictions are listed here. Therefore, once more, these moments of PDF distribution of passive scalar concentration decay exponentially with this mixing lengths for different moments, and decay becomes algebraic in transient regimes. There are now two regimes. When at the beginning the mixing just started, the characteristic lengths of peripheral range were velocity change already, but still it's not developed regime. The boundary with delta is still wider than diffusive boundary layer, which is very small actually in our experiment in the order of microns, and we cannot resolve it. And in this two-stage regime, on first stage, the decay will be algebraic, and only on much longer time the decay becomes exponential. Now, the correlation function, second order correlation function, which was logarithmic in case of unbounded system or power spectra k minus 1, will be algebraic, but the exponent will depend on Peckley number in power minus 1/4, and for Prandtl very large, it will be impossible for us to define, to see the difference between logarithmic and power law behavior. And quantitative prediction about mixing lengths, which I mentioned already, it's another important prediction. Now I switch to this quantitative prediction of mixing lengths in the passive scalar decay, which is actually a result of this paper, theoretical paper. And they consider Batchelor decay regime in channel, exactly situations that I will describe experimentally. In this case, we have longitudinal velocity, average longitudinal velocity along the channel, and fluctuation part of transversal velocity across the channel. And they consider actually two-dimensional geometry, because third dimension perpendicular to the flow can be excluded due to symmetry. And in this case, for this behavior in the boundary layer, they can get the equation for average passive scalar concentration. And here, S is the slope of this dependence of average longitudinal velocity with the distance from the wall, and D is diffusion of turbulent diffusion in case of turbulent flow, which is can be defined from the velocity field, and that's related to the fluctuation of transfer velocity. Therefore, this should be defined from experiment, from PIV measurements. This should be defined from PIV measurements, and then we can get the decay of passive scalar, exponential decay with L mix, which presented here by this expression with coefficient 372. Now this part is functional dependence. As you will see, we defined first of all in channel of a very small channel, 100 micron, and they repeated this in final channel 1 millimeter. But this coefficient we defined only on the last experiment.
But this is an expression which is not for any relation between S and mu. There is probably kind of some limit when S is large, probably.
No.
Just for any relation between
any relation. It's of course delta correlated velocity field. For now, I switch to the experiment. An experiment we made on this channel with this curvy linear channel. Once more, we use the elastic turbulence, as I described in the beginning of the week, why we need this curvy linear trajectories, because we need this to start elastic instability and then to induce elastic turbulence. And elastic turbulence is actually the ideal system to study Batchelor regime, and including Batchelor regime of mixing. Therefore, we use this channel, we induce in one of the input of the channel induce the dye, and then we look along the channel on this position on bend, we look on mixing. Now, we use the same solution for three different channels. 3 millimeter channel, its first experiment was, then 100 micron and 1 millimeter. The channel actually has the same geometry, but scaled down from 3 millimeters till 100 micron. Now, why we use these three different geometries? It's started from 2001, 10 years ago, and then we use 3 millimeters because we wanted to measure LDV and LDV and good resolution for mixing. We decided the 3 millimeter channel is the appropriate one, but it turns out that it takes a lot of time to prepare mixture with polymers. It took between 2 and 3 weeks to prepare only this 10 liters of polymer mixture in order to run one experiment. But on the other hand, the resolution in grayscale for mixing was the best here. Then we prepare another experiment with 100 micron channel, and that we use conformal microscope to study mixing, and we study micro PIV velocity field. Here the problem was that the resolution of velocity field was not sufficient to study this problem of boundary layers in velocity field, and still this paper by Lebedev and Turitsin didn't appear yet. Therefore, they studied this before. And last experiment was made with the goal to verify the prediction of this quantitative prediction of mixing lengths. Therefore, we used on all the three experiments the same mixture, 80 ppm of polyacrylamide with 18 million molecular weight. This is solvent with viscosity of about 114 millipascal second, and whole viscosity of the solution about 138 millipascal second, with longest polymer relaxation time about 11.5 seconds. Therefore, here I listed the different dyes that we used. Why we changed dyes? Because dyes have different diffusion coefficient, and that can, by this way, we can adjust the Peckley number, and because Peckley number depends on diffusion coefficient, and also we change Weissenberg number velocity, and in this way we also adjust the Peckley number. So for Peckley number change in the 100 times in the experiment, it's mostly in the last experiment it was 1 millimeter.
So how did you get the diffusion coefficient to be measured?
This? No, it's known in literature.
And they don't interact with your walls, with the PDMS?
Nothing, no.
Not with polymers?
No. First of all, fluorescein doesn't interact. We use this all in 2 ppm concentrations. Fluorescein doesn't interact with walls. We use different types of walls.
Polymers make not the viscosity of the polymer, not the change of viscosity to the polymer?
No, 2 ppm not. 2 ppm doesn't change it. 2 ppm. Here we use fluorescent induced the dextran. It's dextran. And dextran actually even 2 million dalton also doesn't change anything in this because the concentration is very low. Therefore, Schmidt number was up to 3 on 10 9, therefore huge, and That's all parameters. Before I start first to show that indeed the decay of power spectra for velocities above is steeper than 3, and that I showed over this plot, it's made measurements for, by LDV in 3 mm channel, and that's mixing which appear in this channel, and you can see without polymers and with polymer, and here it's different positions, and it's positioned along the channel of these bands. We have here 63 bands almost in all channels, which I mentioned. And you can see that here it's with pure solvent, its interface is very sharp. And then along the channel with polymers, we can see that on 54 it's almost completely mixed. Now, how it looks in the presentation of space-time present plot. And you can see this presentation for different channel 8, it's still not mixed. 24 is much more effect, and 54 in space-time plot, it's almost, you cannot almost define, see the difference in grid scales. Okay, and the same experiment at 3 mm channel, we also measure probability distribution function for velocity, for intensity, or passive scalar concentration, and you can see that indeed for along the channel for sufficiently far downstream, you can see this exponential tails, and the bigger, the further away, the bigger the channel, the bigger the part, exponential part, and also if we change the Peckley number, which we didn't change in the experiment, the range of exponential tail increases. And the same with correlation function, and correlation function for along the channel for downstream, you can see they collapse on the its linear log scale. Therefore, this should be close to logarithmic. But of course, we cannot see the difference between logarithmic and very small exponent in algebraic dependence. And here, the last thing, that's exponential decay of first and second moment of this probability distribution functions that I showed, and the exponent of this decay as function of number of this exponent. You can see that there is some sign of saturation above 8, but we didn't insist on this. Now, another experiment is 100 micron channel. In this experiment, we already made measurements for different Peckley numbers. Therefore, it's different Peckley number, we change diffusion coefficient, we change the velocity. And you can see that first and second moment have exponential decay. That here, you can see that our resolution already not sufficient in grayscale. And here, this exponent, exponent for this decay up to 10 also, and from 8, we can see some saturation, but error bar is sufficiently large.
What are different colors in the inset?
Different Peckley number.
Different Peckley?
Yes. Uh-huh. But what is important here is a result on quantitative dependence of mixing lengths on Peckley number. And you can see that in this case, we have, it's 400 micron channel, we have changed here the Peckley number only 40 times, but 40 or 50, I don't remember, 50. And you can see that dependence is very different from logarithmic, this is logarithmic dependence, and that's Peckley 1/4. Therefore, indeed, the predicted function dependence for mixing lengths by Chetkov and Lebedev actually found in experiment in 100 micron channel. Now I switch to the main experiment that I would like to discuss, and that's 1 millimeter channel. It's just recently published. The arrangement more or less the same. The only difference that we have here CCD and microscope objective. in order to observe this both PAV and mixing. Therefore, we made here PAV measurements, rather precise, and mixing in the same channel, and all the rest is more or less the same that I was discussed. For PIV, we use 2 micron red fluorescent particles to make PIV, and for passive scalar, I told you already what kind of dyes we used. Now that's the space-time plots for 6, 30, and 60 positions in along the channel, and you can see that indeed it's become more and more mixed. Why we have still here compared to what was made in 3 millimeter channel, here we have camera with much better resolution and grayscale, 16-bit, and before we have 8. Therefore, that's the difference. And from this, of course, we can make measurements for PDF and measurements for different moments of this PDF, this first and second moment, and you can see the exponential decay for Weissenberg 354, rather high Weissenberg, and Peckley is very large. Therefore, we actually observe the same behavior in this channel as before, but here we observe the dependence of this exponent of the decay as function of number much better, and for large Peckley we observe the saturation already at 6. We observe this saturation. For low Peckley it's not so obvious. And here, as you can see, this difference when there's normalized by for the exponent of force moment, and you can see that indeed the highest highest Peckley has saturation, all rest is still not. Now we compare all data for mixing lengths as function of Peckley. It's only functional dependence, and you can see that for all our 3 experiments the dependence more or less correct, and that's actually the slope 0.27 plus minus 0.02 for all of them. I showed this here, different plots for different definition of Peckley number. Here is definition through average velocity, so here through the gradient of fluctuation. Here it's from velocity, and here from gradient of transversal fluctuation, gradient fluctuation. Now, power spectra for this scalar decay for different bands and bulk and peripheral regions. And you can see that this is its fit for this lion, and its fit is 108 K in power alpha 108. There is no big significance for 08 because plus minus here it should be plus minus 03. Therefore, we cannot say difference between logarithmic K minus 1 and some another coefficient. The same exponent, the same can be we can tell about the correlation lengths. It's close logarithmic, but we cannot resolve. Now, what is new here, we also study the PDF of passive scalar increments for different scales. And you can see that they collapse for different scales in some range of scales. And it's shown for some position 40 and Peckley number 2 and 10, 8. And exponential tails are rather obvious. And here, the moments of this distribution, and what is important here is that the moments have logarithmic dependence. For second and fourth moment have logarithmic dependence, and that's actually confirmed the theoretical predictions. And that's different bands show for second moment show more or less logarithmic dependence. Now, correlation functions. Now, correlation function for it's time correlation function and the space correlation function. And you can see that for time correlation function, it decays rather fast. For space correlation function, it's decay only on it's about, you know, here at point one, 10% of the channel, it's still 0.5 correlation. And this slope of this part, it's between logarithmic dependent and some very low, very small exponent beta. Therefore, that's more or less confirmed what we found before. And now I will discuss this part with mixing lengths and this coefficient that was predicted theoretically. Therefore, here I show you different profiles of average velocity, longitudinal velocity, and you can see that indeed in this part we have boundary layer for sufficient and large Weissenbruch number above the transition to elastic instability, and this part we should we will use to get the coefficient in the equation that I showed you, S. Therefore, this what selected this part for boundary layer, and you see this linear dependence, and that's S as function of Weissenbruch. This actually was fit, linear fit with this data. Therefore, S as function of Weissenbruch. Therefore, that's what we will use for the equation. Now, another part is transverse and velocity profiles. Here, the situation is more complicated because we need only fluctuating part of transversal velocity. And you can see that average transversal velocity and RMS of velocity fluctuation are rather close in values. Therefore, it's even fluctuation are larger than average values. Therefore, from this, we calculated the this turbulent diffusion coefficient and linear dependence in RD4. It's difficult to tell because it's only 3-4 points. That's our resolution. We don't have better resolution in PIV. Therefore, that's the dependencies that we use to get m mu as function of Weissenbruch. Therefore, this slope gives mu, and that's mu as function of Weissenbruch. Therefore, that's the definition of this diffusion tensor on the one component. And that's the result of L mix as function of this parameters, and slope of this line gives a coefficient. And coefficient is 0.013 instead of predicted theoretically 372. Therefore, it's more than 200 times theoretical value, more than 200 times larger than experimental. Therefore, what is the problem? And it remains puzzle. And the
so your mixing length is much less.
Mixing length is much larger.
Your mixing length
is much larger because L is coefficient in L minus N, L mix minus one.
Ah, okay. So you much see larger. Much efficiency. Mixing. You see much slower mixing.
That's right. What is the reason? An important difference between theory and the experiments is jets observed in numerical simulations, in this and in this, and now in experiment. And that's what I showed you, it's movie. What happens, it's very rare events on a time scale of several minutes, we observe several of these events. And that's what we caught uh, You see, near the wall, this big parcel of passive color, which is going from boundary layer into peripheral and in bulk region, and that's change the efficiency of mixing. That's one point. And this was one thing. Secondly, it's problem of correlation time. In theory, it was assumed that correlation time for velocity is delta correlated velocity field, and in experiment it doesn't look that it's delta correlated, because the correlation time for passive scalar is on the order of 2 seconds. It's function of n and function of Peclet number. It's more or less on the order of 2-3 seconds, and it's on the order of correlation time in velocity field. It means that another assumption of theory also doesn't work, and that's two suggestions, but I'm not sure that it's everything that we can say. That's the main reason for this large discrepancy, but we don't have another suggestions. Therefore, the conclusion, it's actually all predictions, qualitative predictions and functional predictions for Bachelet regime were verified in our several experiments and show good agreement, but quantitative verification of results and mixing lengths have shown huge disagreement in number and coefficient. In functional dependence it's okay, very good, but in numerical results is discrepancy of more than 200 times. That's actually the conclusion.
Questions?
It's kind of, I mean, qualitatively, I would. So if I say that there are some bursts, they would rather enhance mixing and decrease mixing lengths. Imagine that I have like featureless turbulence and then some burst imposed on it, which are actually large excursion from the wall into inside. That would enhance mixing.
No, they decrease mixing.
Why?
It's for the same reason why this, in theory, we don't have these excursions, but we have concentration of passive scalar near the boundary. And then from time to time, they include in boundary. Therefore, we have almost completely mixed media bulk. And then from time to time, we have big parcel of fluid which changes the mixing before it becomes unmixed. And it takes another time, a long time to mix this, and then another. Before you only
but
decrease.
But that decreases the amount of passive scalar near the boundary, which is, I mean, basically the amount of passive scalar near the boundary is the source of your scalar turbulence. You assume that there is kind of it's forever there,
of
and
course,
it's always continuous.
Of course, continuous.
Then it would really.
It's coming from the.
Because other the velocity is not delta correlated, it also would probably work in a different direction. If I would keep single time velocity RMS value and increase its correlation time, that would increase the mixing or decrease the mixing lengths.
Maybe.
This would increase mu.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, mu is a single time value squared times correlation time, roughly speaking. That is mu. So if you keep a single time value and increase correlation radius, that would enhance mu.
Maybe.
But those.
No, but excursions definitely.
Excursion, yeah, okay, I understand.
They increase in permittency and they.
If you have enough near the borders, that would.
Yes.
Yeah. Which means that it's.
No questions?
Well, no. People are tired, I think.
No, there's a question.
I was just wondering if these blobs that develop near the wall have a typical scale?
No, it's a developing scale. They started probably for very small scales that we cannot see, but there's an increase along that. Yes. they increase.
According to the theory, they are like tongues, which are kind of, you know, in a scale invariant way, change their shape as they go away. It's kind of
in theory, in the numerical simulations, they're going, because they don't have the downflow longitudinal velocity, they have shapes like that, but not like. In our case, because we have velocity which move, because we have shapes like that.
Why these things happen?
This?
Yes.
It's not instability. It's not like plumes in turbulent convection, but this kind of excursion appears in many different systems, not because of instability. Why? Because an unstable distribution. The distribution is when you have a lot of passive scalar near the wall, much less concentration of passive scalar in the bulk, it's unstable. And that's why it's excursion, it occurs. It's statistical result. Yes.
Yeah, just two velocities here like this, and then they will go away.
Yeah, just sweep off.
Yes.
Yes. So it's not that different from...
No, that's a generic effect.
It's not that different from... No, I think,
Yeah, but in plume, usually consider the boundary layer, thermal boundary, instability. Yes, that's right. Yeah. But not instability.
I mean, not large scale, but...
Yes.
Stuff coming in from above.
Exactly, yeah. Like it's coming from above
down
and...
Down from above and then doing this and then washing it away. Nice.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you very much. We have a day three next week, And we'll see you on Tuesday, right? Tuesday morning?
Huh?
We can say goodbye to you Tuesday.
No, I'll be here Tuesday, until Tuesday. The late afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.